Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, babies. Welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
Is that what we're calling our listeners now, babies?
I just kind of felt like a sultry summer vibe. I don't know.
I'm into it. I was just wondering if I'd missed a memo or something.
I don't think we should start calling our listeners babies.
No. Okay. I am Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
No, we're not. We are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and your thoughts, and we answer your questions to the best of our ability.
Indeed. And please remember, we're not experts, we're podcast hosts, and we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a medical and or mental health professional as needed.
And look, if you would like to comment on the fact that I addressed you all as babies, I don't know why. It's just, you know, the mood struck me. Please do reach out to us. Our voicemail and text message number is 781-591-0390. And our email where you may send us a voice memo as well is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Indeed. And you may visit our website, forever35podcast.com, for links to everything we mention on the show. Follow us on Twitter at Forever35Pod, on Instagram at Forever35Podcast, and do join the Forever 35 Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Forever35Podcast, where the password is serums. And you can also sign up for the wonderful semi-monthly Forever 35 Podcast newsletter at Forever35Podcast.com/newsletter.
Hey, can I give myself a quick plug?
Of course you can.
My book cover was quote unquote revealed. So if you want to check out the cover of my first novel, which is called In a New York Minute, I'll link to it in the show notes and I will link to a spot where you can pre-order it.
This is so exciting.
Your
cover is amazing.
Thank you,
Dori. I love it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your support. If you want to read a flirty book written by yours truly, a rom-com set in New York City, I've got the book for you. So check it out.
It is so delightful. And Kate, is there anywhere people can pre-order the book?
I will include a link where you can pre-order it, but any of your favorite independent bookstores, shmamazon.shmom, I'm sure it's there. But yes, I will link to a massive pre-order linkage, and I will probably repeat this again because I am new at promoting myself and very awkward at it. So bear with me as I...
Do you want to mention when your book is coming out?
My book comes out March 15th, 2022, my daughter's 9th birthday.
How auspicious.
Speaking of books, I did want to express my gratitude to our listeners because so many listeners have reached out to suggest that we read the book Braiding Sweetgrass, Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teaching of Plants by Robin Wall Kimmerer. And I have finally listened to our listeners on this, and you all were right. It's an absolutely fantastic book. I am listening to it on audiobook, and it's Dori, it's incredible. It's just everything the listeners promised and more.
What genre is it? What is it about? Can you tell me more?
Sure. So the author, Robin Wall Kimmerer, is an Indigenous woman who is a botanist, a professor, and a writer. And so the title really says it all. So Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teaching of Plants. And so it really just weaves those three things together beautifully. And I have found it incredibly informative and inspiring, and just a beautiful meditation on the natural world, and how often currently in, you know, Western culture, we really use and abuse it and don't learn from it. And it's been really, and also just really learning about the Indigenous American experience, which is not something I am well educated on, quite frankly. And so it's gotten me really inspired to do a lot more reading about that. So, you know, I have had the realization, like, I will always be learning, you know, there's so much I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's mm-hmm. just a beautiful, and the writing is just absolutely stunning. And I'm listening to the audiobook, which is narrated by the author, and she has an incredibly soothing voice, which I always appreciate when people say we have soothing voices, and I do understand what it means. Like, I love turning this audiobook on. It's just like a gentle breeze. It's just really beautiful. So I've really loved it. And I, you know, as I've kind of been like yammering on this podcast about like feeling disconnected from nature and spirituality, and this book really taps into all those things and how those things connect. And so it was such a great recommendation. I'm so grateful so many people shared it with me.
Why did people recommend it to you? Just out of curiosity. Did you say something on the show?
Yes. I'm not sure. Someone started recommending, like the first recommendation we got, I think, was in the winter or early spring. And then they kept pouring in, like multiple people, unbeknownst to the other, would be like, hey, the book you need to read that I think would really address a lot of the feelings you're having is Braiding Sweetgrass. And I actually think we read a message from a listener who recommended it. I'll need to circle back and figure out when the first mention of it was. And you know what's interesting about the book is it was released in 2013, and it had a real kind of word of mouth spread. And it hit the New York Times bestseller list in like 2020 or maybe 2019, but it's not a new book, much to my surprise, because I believe it was just on like a recent, you know, New York Times bestseller list. So it's one of those books that I think by word of mouth, people are recommending because it's such a fantastic read. And she might have a new book coming out soon. Also 100% going to put the author of this book on my like dream podcast list. I mean, she's just so knowledgeable and inspiring. It's just, I think you would enjoy this book.
Cool. I'll check it out.
Yeah. It's really great. It's really great for your nonfiction, read of the week, Braiding Sweetgrass. I'm still in the middle of it, so I can't say I have completed it, but I will.
Well, you know, as soon as I finish all the Outlander books.
You are really, Dory, leaning into Outlander you.
I mean, I leaned into Poldark me. I leaned into Bridgerton me.
What I'm hearing is now that historical romance is right up your alley.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's what you're hearing. Poldark isn't really a romance.
But doesn't he do some like boot knocking?
Yeah, but it's like not, it's not as like explicit as I think like Bridgerton, for example.
As I would say,
by the end, I think I've mentioned this, by the end of reading Bridgerton, I was like, wow, she really ran out of ways to describe sex. Like every sex scene started to sound exactly the same.
But Outlander having that problem.
Outlander not having that problem, but that could also be because Bridgerton is more explicit.
Mm.
Like Outlander, the sex scenes are pretty brief and kind of vague.
Okay.
And the Bridgerton ones are like very explicit. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed them, but I was like, okay, now he's going to pinch her nipple. And
oh, yes.
You know, it's just like the kind of the same, pattern over and over again.
Yeah. Sounds like they need to spice it up. Look, just too much nipple pinching. They need to, you know, broaden their foreplay.
And also all like the, except in one of the books, the women are always virgins. Ooh. So that's also like, it lends a different air to the proceedings, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yes. Claire Outlander, not a virgin.
No. Not a virgin. Anyway, sorry for that digression.
Don't apologize.
But yes, I would love to check this book out.
Yeah, I think you would like it. But right now you're busy on the Peloton app.
Look, I'm busy, okay? So
you're working on your fitness. As Fergie once said.
You know, I think as I discussed, I think it was last episode when I was talking about possibly getting back into running.
Yeah.
You know, I like having a goal. I like having a program. I think that was why I liked training for like half marathons and marathons, because I would have a very specific program that I had to follow, like a training program. And on the Peloton, they have this genre of classes called power zone classes. And there's this whole like what's the word?
Community? Movement?
Yeah, but I'm like, it's like a community. There's this whole community of people who are like obsessed with power zone training, and this woman has made this whole almost like industry around it. It's not affiliated with Peloton, but she has a website called Power Zone Pack. It's pzpack.com. And every, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 times a year, she does these like 6 to 8 week long challenges where you ride 3 to 4 times a week and you get assigned to a team. And it's like, it's this like whole thing. And I'm doing another one now. I just started it. Unfortunately, you can't join like halfway through. So if you're not already doing it, you can't just sign up, but you can sign up for the next one. And I really like it because it's a structure. It's a schedule. There's a goal at the end. You take this thing called the FTP test that like tests your fitness essentially at the end. And then you can like compare it to how you did on the previous test. And what's interesting is I've been taking this test periodically since last summer, and you can see on like the graph I've gotten so much better.
Yeah.
So that's also really satisfying.
You love, you know, a measurement. Like you love something to be able to compare. I think that's interesting and smart and appealing. Mm.
Well, just, it's like, it's nice to know. Well, the thing I like about it too is like, you're only competing against yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I liked about running also is like, I'm trying to get faster or, you know, get more fit just against myself, not against like the thousands of other people who are doing this program. So it's like a nice little challenge. And as someone who is internally motivated, that is very satisfying to me.
Oh, ho, ho. The old internal motivation.
The old internal motivates.
Something I don't really have.
Oh, I think you do.
But I mean, like when we've talked about this, you know, as a pleaser versus you as a questioner, like that is a more, that does motivate you. Like you are motivated,
yes, it does
for
motivate
yourself,
me.
Right?
Yes. 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 Totally. Totally.
And,
so,
you know what I will say is that I do think when we exercise, measuring like strength is a really great way to do it, because I know, I don't know about you, but like so much of the way I was conditioned was like, using my body as the tool of measurement for like improvement. And and I do think, or using rather like the appearance of my body, not the actual ability of my body. And I think I personally have found exercise much more gratifying and exciting and satisfying as I notice like strength and mobility changes, as opposed to just like, you know, the way I look, which honestly, I don't think has changed that much. So I think that's really a cool way that you're doing it.
Thank you, Kate. Appreciate that.
You're welcome, Dory. So if anyone wants to race you on Peloton, what is your name? At Dory?
It's just Dory. Okay. Yeah.
So follow Dory if you are a Peloton app
so
user.
Yeah, follow me. There's a very active Forever 35 group of riders.
Yeah, there is.
And if you put the Forever 35 hashtag in your profile, you'll be able to follow along and give people high fives as you're riding. And you should also join the Forever 35 Peloton Facebook group.
I love that there is a Forever 35 hashtag. That thrills me to no end.
I know. It's so fun.
I'll hop on and tap people when I get in there.
Yeah. And if any other listeners are doing the current challenge, let me know.
Hit Dory up. Hit us up on those.
Hit me up.
The voice.
Babies.
The voice. Yeah, hit. Come on, babies. Oh, goodness. All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we've got some really interesting questions from people. I'm kind of excited to dig in deep over here.
All right. Let's do it. Be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. And they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
All right. All right. Let's dig into these cues.
Okay. Let's do it. All right. This is an interesting question, and one that I look forward to answering. Shall I read it?
Yes, please. I also just want to note that I am recording this by a window and a bird is cawing, and I'm just going to let that be a part of the podcast here. So apologies.
Maybe the bird wants its own podcast.
The bird has an opinion.
Should we bring the bird onto the Forever 35 Network?
Hey guys, this week's guest is the bird that was outside the window. It's so loud. You might not even pick up, but I just felt like I needed to mention it in case someone's listening and is like, oh, that's a loud bird. Anyway, all right, Dory, take it away here.
All right. Hi, Kate and Dory. I have a social question for you. Did you attend any of your high school reunions? My first 10-year reunion is this fall, and while I previously hadn't thought I'd go, I've had two close friends ask if I'm planning to. We all seem to be feeling uncertain about attending because based on pop culture and movies, reunions are almost always depicted as awkward parties. I can see how it might be fun to reconnect with classmates, but I also don't want to feel the same social awkwardness I did as a teen. I didn't have a bad high school experience, but I've always been introverted and felt extra awkward in group settings. I just don't want to regret going. Ha! Thanks. Kate, have you gone to your high school reunions?
I have. I've been to a few of them, but I do feel like I should mention that I went to a small all-girls private school, and so their reunions are kind of intimate, and we do a lot of like the traditions we did at the school. Like there's all this kind of stuff that one does when they attend my high school. And so it doesn't feel like, you know, like Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. Like it doesn't have that same feel in my experience.
Right,
you know, my graduating class was 64 people. So it's just a completely different kind of experience, I think. So I don't feel totally confident answering this question, but I have personally found my reunions extremely rewarding. I love reconnecting with my classmates, especially because some of them live abroad, and it's just really interesting getting to know them as adults. But I think if you are at all, if you don't have like a wing person to go with, like, you know, like someone. I always think it's nice to have someone who you went to high school with at like to be like to buddy up with, right? Because bringing a spouse or a partner who didn't go there, it's always kind of challenging for them. So I think if you have a teammate who can kind of, you know, keep you company throughout the experience, it is better that way. But I don't know, if you feel like it's going to be an exhausting experience, then I think you can skip it. We have access to all these classmates thanks to social media. So it's different than the 80s. Did you go, Dory? Do you have thoughts on this?
I went to one, and I've also been to one college reunion. I know I went to my 10th college reunion, and I'm trying to remember if I went to my 10th or my 15th high school reunion. I cannot remember. My high school class, and I don't know if this is, so I went to a large, like suburban public high school where I think my graduating class had like 450 people. However, in like classic Gen X fashion, like no one has ever really like taken the responsibility to plan reunions.
I love this so much.
The one reunion I went to was like hastily thrown together at a bar in Boston. And I want to say like maybe 50 people showed up. Like it wasn't like a big thing. There wasn't like a reunion committee. It was like one guy who like sent out a Facebook invite. And then there was another one that I didn't go to. Also, the reunions are always the Friday night after Thanksgiving for some reasons. I guess assuming that people will have gone home for Thanksgiving. But like, I haven't gone to Boston for Thanksgiving in a really long time. So that it's like never convenient for me. And then we should have had a reunion last year, but it was COVID. And like, there wasn't even mention of it anywhere. Like, it wasn't like, we're not going to do, and it was a big, it was like, I think it was our 25th high school reunion. And there was no like, oh, we'll just do this next year. There was just nothing. So I feel like everyone in my high school class is sort of like, whatever. Again, very Gen X of us. I also think that, although, you know, I'm friends with people from the class above me and they are very organized about their reunion. So like, maybe this theory is just, I've always thought that my year was like especially apathetic about like
peak Gen X.
Like, kind of. Like, it's just, it's like no one can be bothered. Mm-hmm. And that's like, I don't know. That's fine. I also feel like we've kind of like factionalized. Like, I don't get the sense that there's like large groups of people from my high school class meeting up a lot. I think like people are sort of individually friends with others, but like I never see like big like pictures on Facebook with like, you know, 20 people getting together. Like, I feel like everyone from my high school is just sort of like, okay, bye. Let's have a nice life.
So then what would you advise this person to do? This person's okay, had so close friends ask if they're going. Yes. So that's good.
Yes. Okay. The other thing I will say is the one I did go to, I did go with two friends. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you on that. Okay. I personally think you should go.
Oh, okay.
I feel like there's more possibility that you will regret not going than going. Because if you go and you feel awkward and introverted and like, that it was a mistake, you can just leave.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to stay all night. You could go for like half an hour and be like, oh, this is not my scene, and leave. But like, there is also the possibility that you could get there and like actually have a really good time. Because, you know, sometimes people who kind of sucked in high school turn out to like be cooler later.
Totally. Like me, probably.
Like Kate Spencer. I'm thinking of this one person in particular. Her name is Kate Spencer. Yeah,
she was sucked in high school, but
I don't know. I've like, I feel like now in my old age, I have like a different perspective on these things, which is, you know, also because like a few people from my high school class have died. I am no one I was super close with, no one I was even like remotely close with, people I knew, but not close friends. And it is kind of like, well, you know, these people aren't going to be around forever. They are a part of your life. I would say unless you had like such a miserable time in high school that like you have no one who you would go with, the thought of going like makes you want to vomit. But it sounds like you have friends and I don't know. I'm rambling, but like I kind of think you should go.
We're into it. We want you to go.
We want you to go. But like if you don't want to go, that's also fine.
Yeah.
Wow. Turns out, as promised, I had a lot of thoughts about this.
Dory has a lot of feelings about this.
I do. I think I'm feeling a little like nostalgic.
Wistful?
Almost. Not, I don't know. Yes, wistful. That's the word. I'm feeling a little wistful. And maybe it's the pandemic and just, you know, and being on the other side of the country and like, I just wrote a book about feeling like I never really fit in. And
also getting like, older is weird. Like there is this kind of feeling of like, oh God, oh, it's going fast. Like what? I'm already here?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm feeling totally. That a lot. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So, but I acknowledge that perhaps your 10-year reunion, your 10-year high school reunion when you were 28 probably does not have the same resonance.
Yeah.
As like a 25th high school reunion or a 30th high school reunion. I had to miss my 20th college reunion, which I think I would have gone to, but I had a 3-week-old child.
That would have been rough. So
That was not happening.
No, I wouldn't do that either.
All right. Wow. Well, we took a long time to answer that question.
Let's do one of these voicemails.
We're now 27 minutes in.
Great. Great. Let's do this setting okay. a boundary after
do
a
strange
voicemail.
Hey, Forever 35. My name's Caitlin. I'm calling from Texas. I was just journaling some frustration and realized that y'all's community, that community, our community, was a perfect place to ask it. I recently became estranged from my brother, and am grappling with a lot of feelings of guilt that, like, I abandoned him, I'm not being there for him, I should have been able to see this coming and, like, help him. But my brother was abusive, and, like, I know that logically. So do y'all have any tips of how to divorce keeping myself safe from the feelings of guilt or, quite frankly, shame that, like, I couldn't tough it out enough for him? Thought y'all might have some thoughts. Okay, thanks. Love your show.
Well, first thing I want to say is that thank you for suggesting that we are all in a community. I found that very moving, and I realize maybe I'm making this about me, but I appreciate that you felt safe enough to, like, reach out to this community of us and listeners and ask this question. That really, like, like, I think when you and I talk about, like, why do we do this podcast? It's like that reason. So that was really, I'm really grateful that you, said that. And I mean, to me, well, first of all, if it sounds like you are you're journaling this, I think if you are not working with a therapist and specifically addressing this relationship, that you, that should be a thing that you look into. But I also do think, like, some sort of mantra that you repeat to, like, ooh. I'm doing, I find that sometimes, like, we all intellectually know when something, like, why we're doing something and why it's the right decision. But then you can let all the kind of questions and feelings throw you off course. And so I do find, like, a mantra that centers you back to your core reasoning. And empowers you in your decision that you've made and the boundary that you've set might be very helpful to have as something in your toolkit that when you're feeling it, you pull it out, you say it to yourself a few times, and then you just pop it back into your kit. You go on your merry way.
I love that.
I mean, again, we are not at all professionals in this area. So again, seek professional advice, but that's me, your podcast host friend advice. Story, thoughts on this one?
I agree with that. I would also say, I know it's really hard, but, like, trust your gut. Like, your gut told you that you needed to, you know, set this boundary with your brother, and just kind of, like, remind yourself of that.
Yeah.
I also don't know if there's any, like, group situation that might be applicable to your situation. Al-Anon doesn't sound quite right, but maybe some of the issues that they deal with. I've never gone to an Al-Anon meeting, so I can't really speak to them. But, you know, people who I know who have gone have kind of talked about them in this way. There might be something about the boundary setting that could be helpful for you. I think there's also support groups for people who are codependent. Mm-hmm. And I'm not suggesting, like, I'm not diagnosing you as being codependent with your brother, but there could be something there. So that might also be something to explore. But again, not a doctor, not a therapist, not a trained, not a licensed clinical social worker, any of those things. Just throwing some things out there.
You're just Dory, and that is all right with me.
And I hope that's enough. Okay.
Those are great suggestions, Story. And you know what? I would love to hear from other listeners on this who might have advice for this listener.
Yeah, same.
All right. We're going to take another break.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be right back.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
All right. We're back.
This question really hit home for me.
Mm-hmm.
This listener wrote to us and they said, "Hi, Kat and Dor, what are you doing about baths in the time of this never-ending, possibly forever drought we have in California? Pre-COVID, I'd take a bath always while traveling outside California, especially outside the parched West Coast, to ease my heavy guilt about all of the water I used. During CORE, I started to take baths and soothed my guilt by telling myself it was okay since I'm not an everyday shower person. I started taking baths a few times a month, but this terrible drought is making me think I should cut them out entirely. Advice for a soothing substitute." I've had this exact same thought. And actually, our podcast producer, Sammy, is house sitting for us while we are away. And I said to them, I was like, please don't take baths because like our tub is like comically big and it just feels like it would be draining all the water that we could use in the state. And I've thought that I need to kind of set that boundary for myself too, which, you know, is of course disappointing because we love a bath, but also like we love, the safety of our planet and access to water more. Could you fill a basin with warm water and some nice salts and just have a foot bath?
Ooh.
Much less water, very soothing. Then maybe like give yourself a nice massage with some oil or some cream, like, you know, a calf and foot rub. I do find foot baths very soothing and do kind of get the job done. And it's much less water.
I love that idea.
I have not given myself a foot bath in God knows how long, but I might try one.
That's a great idea.
Thought story for this listener?
I was thinking, and I feel like this came up on a very early episode, but what about doing some sort of like eucalyptus spray, like in your shower?
Yes. A few drops of eucalyptus essential oil in the shower is so nice, just on the floor.
Yeah. Cause that gives you the kind of like spa feel and it's relaxing. But it's not a bath.
I love that suggestion. And maybe also indulging on the after part of a shower, like a nice body oil right at when your body is damp, you know, like a nice body mist or just kind of those things that offer the same kind of soothing sensation. Or, you know what, Dory and I have been talking about off the air about what we want? Eye pillows.
Yes.
Heat up or cool down a nice little rice eye pillow. Just take 5 minutes, throw it on your eyes and like lay down. Let's come up with some planet kind bath substitutes. What are we doing instead of taking baths? Because
that's
look, this
idea.
is we're in a dark place here with a lot of the stuff that's going down right now and has been going down for, you know, decades. So I really appreciate you raising this, listener.
Yeah,
thank you. All right, Dory, let's hit this final VM, shall we?
All right, let's do it.
Hi, Cat and Dor. This is Julia calling. I just had to pause the pod on my walk when you guys were talking about birthdays and Facebook. I personally have mine posted on Facebook, but I have a friend who is a close friend. Well, we used to be really close, and now, you know, we live in different states. We're still close, but not as close. Who does not have her Facebook, her birthday on Facebook. And every year, this friend sends me a card for my birthday, which always arrives a little bit earlier than my birthday. So I know she has my birthday written down somewhere. But I don't know when her birthday is. And she never posts about it, and it is her birthday. So I feel like the shittiest friend for these past years. She's writing me cards, and I'm like, is it in January? I don't know. Okay, I don't know what to do. I don't really know. This is just a comment to call in. Okay.
Okay, I have a couple thoughts here.
Lay it on me.
One is you could just ask.
Yes, Dory! In my head, I'm just chanting, normalize not knowing. We have to normalize the fact that we don't always know.
Yes. So I just, you could be perfectly honest and be like, hey, this is really embarrassing because you always send me cards for my birthday. And I feel like at one point I knew your birthday, but like, I just don't have it written down anywhere. You don't have it on Facebook. So can you just tell me what your birthday is? Or you could just be like, hey, what's your birthday?
Yes, Dory, 110%.
So that's one thing you could do. The other thing you could do, and this is not foolproof because you don't have to fill it in, but you could start one of those. I have like one of those digital address books on Postable. Mm-hmm. And you like send it out to your friends and you ask them to fill in their addresses. So you, like if you want to send them holiday cards or something. And there's a field that asks for birthdays, mm-hmm. which like I didn't even really know. But like now I get emails from Postable being like, your friend Cynthia's birthday is in 2 weeks or whatever. So that's like a sneaky way to do it. But you don't have to fill in your birthday. So you could just end up sending it to them and they like might not fill it out. But also, if you did that, you could always just follow up with them and be like, hey, I noticed you didn't put your birthday in to like my Postable thing. And I'm really trying to be better about like, you know, recognizing people's birthdays. So can you remind me what your birthday is again?
I think that's a great idea.
Or you could just do that without the Postable.
Yeah. I'm with Dory on this. I think you just have to straight up be like, hey, I don't know your birthday. In whatever way you're comfortable with, like a gentle, like, you know, a gentle conversation or just a straightforward, but you just have to ask. And also, I know on my iPhone, not everyone's an iPhone user, but you can pop the birthday into the contact. There's a whole section in everybody's contact for their birthday. I'm looking at my 10-year-old daughter's contact information right now, and there's her birthday. So you can plug birthdays in. So you could always ask people or just send out like a mass email and then install it into your contacts too that way. However way you want to track it. But I love Postable. Such a great suggestion, Dory. I love that.
Well, thank you.
You're so welcome. Excuse me. Well, you know, Dory, it's been a treat and a treasure to get to talk to you.
Yes,
and all
likewise.
The Forever 35 babies out there.
Yeah, all you Forever 35 babies.
I will never call y'all babies again, but it just was like, hey, baby. Like, it just had that feeling inside me, you know? Hey, babe.
Yeah,
I hear it.
It was weird. It was weird, Dory. It was weird.
It came from the heart. It came from the heart.
But my heart's weird, I think, is the problem.
That's okay. That's why we love you.
Oh, you're so nice. You're such a good friend. Well, Dory.
Yes.
This brings us to the end of the road here, but, you know, we'll be back on Wednesday. So thank you all for listening.
All right. Bye, everyone.